Thank you, David. You probably guessed this lesson is about the fact that here we are but straying pilgrims. This world is not our home. We're just passing through, the Bible says. The Bible is also very specific when it says that God will one day burn up this world. This physical world is going to be gone. 2 Peter chapter 3. Jesus said heaven and earth would pass away. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. This world is temporary. It's passing away. John wrote in 1 John chapter 2. So we see from all of these verses that we should not set our hope on this world, but rather on our eternal home. But we also understand that until we reach that heavenly home, we have to live in this world without letting the world live in us. You know, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we're told not to be conformed to this world. That's what the world wants. That's what Satan wants. Satan wants us to be like everybody else. That's what he wants. But we have to allow Scripture and only Scripture to guide our journey here on earth. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2 that we're sojourners and pilgrims. People that are sojourners and pilgrims realize that this world is temporary. That the best world is yet to come. But we have to understand that this world we live in, even though it was created, Genesis 1 says, very good. When sin entered it, things changed. It became dark. It became ugly. It became evil. The world, the Bible says, is now under the influence of the control of Satan. Look at what the writer John says, the Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 5. He makes that very clear. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, John writes this. 1 John 5, 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. See, the world is under the influence of Satan, and we see that everywhere. We see that throughout the world, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But Satan is the one that influences the world. The Apostle Paul even said that he's the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. That's what Satan is. He's the god of this world. He's the one that most people listen to. Most people follow the devil. The devil's on the wide path that leads to destruction. The devil knows where he's going to end up. And he wants as many people as possible to be with him throughout eternity. You know, the wide path Jesus talked about in Matthew 7, 13 and 14 leads to destruction. And Jesus himself said that most people are going to follow that wide path. Why? Because they're under the influence of the god of this world. They're under the sway of the wicked one. And they're going to listen to him. And they're going to follow him because it seems to be the easiest path. So they're going to follow Satan over and over. We have to understand something, that this world is not our friend. When James wrote James 4:4, he made that very clear to his readers. James 4 and verse 4 says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. See, we're commanded not to love this world. And what do I mean when I talk about the world? I'm talking about everything that's opposed to God, everything that's against God, everything that's in competition with God. That's the world. That's what Satan has control over. That's what Satan influences. That's what Satan has the sway over. All of that. one of the last things we have recorded when Jesus is in the upper room with his apostles is found in John 17. A good part of John is all about that upper room discourse. Well, in John 17, beginning in verse 15, this is what Jesus speaks to them. John 17, verses 15 and 16. Jesus says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. See, Jesus was praying that God would keep them from the evil one. Who's the evil one? Satan, the one who influences most in the world. So everything that's against God, everything that's opposed to what's good, everything that is against morality and ethics and all of this, that's the world. Our world today is filled with hate. It's filled with prejudice and racism and evil of all kinds. It's filled with all kinds of homosexual acts. It's filled with, of course, abortions that happen daily, every day throughout the world. It's filled with greed. It's filled with lust. That's not necessarily new. Remember when Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia, he listed a whole bunch of works of the flesh, Galatians 5:19-21. And he talks about those things that are in the world because they will always be in the world. Why? Because Satan's always going to be in the world until the very end. Satan isn't going away. Satan is trying to influence us. He wants us to follow him. That's what he wants. And so while we live in the world, we should feel like Lot felt. How did Lot feel? Let's read 2 Peter 2. This tells us how Lot felt living in the world that he lived in. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. I think there's a lot there for us to understand. 2 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8. Talking about what God did and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. That's where we are. You know, we, in a sense, are tormented when we see the wicked, unrighteous, immoral, sinful deeds in the world. And we see them every day. And of course, we're far more aware of them now because of social media and, instantaneous news. We hear instantaneously everything that happens in the world that's bad. I mean, we hear it just instantaneously. We need to be like Lot. He was tormented because his soul was righteous. He saw and heard their lawless deeds. That's what we do. We hear about what the wicked are doing. We see what the wicked are doing. But we're still to live in this world. See, this world has been corrupted by sin. No wonder the Bible says God is going to destroy it. You know, 2 Peter 3 says it's going to happen. All going to be destroyed. It's all going to be burned up. It's going to be gone. It's not going to be restored or reformed. It's going to be annihilated. Never to be again. So that's the world we must live in. But as Christians, we have a world that we're living for. See, we don't live for this world. We live for the next world. Why? Because that's where we're going to live with the Lord forever. when Paul wrote that second letter to the church at Corinth, the second one we have recorded, he told them this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 17, Paul says, this is what Christians are living for and why we live the way we do. He says in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 4, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So see, that's why we have to set our minds on different things than the world sets their minds on. One of the best places that I know of in the Bible is what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 4. I'm sorry, Colossians chapter 3. Those first four verses of Colossians chapter 3 really emphasize what Christians are to be doing while we live in this world. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "If then you were raised with Christ," and Christians of course are, "seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." See, that's what we're living for. We're living for that. And so while we are living for that, what are we to do? Set our mind on things above. Heavenly things, spiritual things. Like Paul told the church in Philippi in Philippians 4. Think about those things that are honorable and noble and righteous and just and excellent, noteworthy. You think about those things. Jesus came to deliver us from this present evil age. That's what Paul told the churches in Galatians 1:4. Jesus came to deliver us from this present evil age. God knows it's evil. God knows the majority of people in this world are evil and they're wicked. And Jesus came to deliver us from them so that we won't have to spend eternity with them. Because if we don't believe in him and if we don't obey that gospel, we will spend eternity with all of those wicked, evil people. But see, Jesus came to deliver us from those people. So we shouldn't become entangled in things in the world. Yeah, now we have to shop at the same stores that unbelievers do. We have to work at the same jobs as unbelievers do. And many of you, I'm sure, have worked in jobs with some pretty wicked, evil people. I know I have, and I'm sure many of you have. But we can't let them take our focus off of our heavenly home. See, we need to keep in mind why we're here on this earth. See, our citizenship is in heaven. It transferred. It transferred when we were born again. We were citizens of the world, but not anymore. Philippians 3 says that we're citizens in heaven. And we look for that home. Because what? That's where we're from. We're from heaven. So how do we live in this world then? How do I live in this world so I don't let the world live in us? And there's a lot of things we could talk about, a lot of things that I could say, but I narrowed it down to four, believe it or not. You know, we can't escape living in this world. So how can I be salt and how can I be light? Here are four things that I think are really fundamental. They're basic principles. Number one, how do I live in this world to be light and salt? I need to be a faithful employee. Well, what does that mean? It means I need to be the kind of employee that the employer trusts. The employer knows that And I'm honest, I'm trustworthy, I'm careful. Christians need to be careful with our speech as well, right? Colossians 4:6, so that we're, let our speech always be seasoned with salt, so that we may know how to answer every one. See, that's why we want our speech seasoned with salt, is so that we can answer people about why we live the way we live. It's kind of like what Peter said, 1 Peter 3. Always be ready to give an answer to those people who ask you about the reason of the hope that's within you. Remember, we're working for God ultimately. You know, good employees stand out. Employees that are honest and trustworthy, and, you know, that watch what they say and how they say it, and are careful about things. People of integrity. We're letting our light shine by doing that. Number two, be a good neighbor. Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. Most of us love ourselves pretty well. I love myself pretty well. So if I love myself pretty well, I need to love my neighbor as well. And I need to use opportunities to do good. Remember Galatians 6:10? When those opportunities to do good come up, I need to take advantage of them and do good, especially to those of the household of faith, that verse says. Our world is filled with selfishness, meanness, so we need to go about doing good. The world doesn't expect kindness from people. So when we display kindness to the world, then they see something special. The Bible says our world is corrupt, it's hostile. So when we don't display that, when instead we display kindness, they see something special. Number three, how do I live in this world and let my light shine and be salt to influence it? I need to be mission-minded. Since my citizenship isn't in the world, my mission is about the next world. I need to be mission-minded. I need to take advantage of opportunities to talk to others about Christ, to invite others to services. Remember where to go into all the world. If I remember right, the word go there is actually a participial phrase. It's going into all the world, preach the gospel. See, there's a comma in there. Because we are going into all the world. Everywhere we go, we're going into the world. So the world there is not necessarily halfway around the world. It's right next door. So as you go into all the world, spread the good news. Be a herald. Proclaim the glad tidings. And lastly, and I think this is so important for how we are to live in this world, and that is avoid worldly entanglements. Let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11 tells us something very important about how we are to live in this world but not be a part of it. Ephesians 5 verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, reprove them, rebuke them. See, we're not to have any fellowship with things that are evil, works of darkness. Instead, we need to speak out against sin. You know, a lot of reasons why we have certain types of things going on in our culture and society is because maybe we didn't speak out in the past as strongly as we should have. When things started to happen that were wrong, we didn't say anything. The Bible says we need to speak out against sin and call it what it is. Sin is sin. It doesn't make any difference who does it or when they do it or anything else. Sin is sin. Paul says we have to expose them. Expose them. Reprove them. Rebuke them. Yes, we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. You know, Philippians is considered to be one of the most encouraging books in the Bible, and it is. But notice what he says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. We might as well go back and start at verse 14. Philippians 2, 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. What do we do? Well, as we hold fast the word of life, we're doing what? We are shining as lights in the world, in an evil, dark world that's crooked and perverse. See, we need to show that we're people of integrity. And we need to show people that there's a better way to live than the way they're living. And we do that just like he says. We're blameless and harmless. We're children of God without fault. That's what we need to do. Now, just like this song says, this world is not our home, but while we're here, we should try and make a difference. As long as we're in the world, we need to try and make a difference by how we live and how we talk and where we go and the people we're with. How to live in this world. Christians, we have a directive. We have a mission. We're to show people in the world that there's a better way to live. And we start that better life by repenting and being baptized, but that's the start of it. And then as we grow and mature in the faith, then we are to set that example of people who are blameless and harmless without fault. That's our mission. So this morning, if you are in need of responding to that great gospel invitation, we encourage you to come now as we stand and sing.